Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, January 19, 2018. South Sudan is threatening to kick out peace monitors.
We'll go until IGAD to either empower citizens to work properly or to use the regional protection force, which is doing nothing here, after they gave us a lot of headache, threatening us of arms embargo, threatening us of travel ban on individuals.
And a top UN diplomat says South Sudanese children are severely affected by the ongoing violence.
We went to Rumbek, to Ganyel, and to Bentu. In each of them, there is a real attention to malnutrition. So mothers would be bringing in their children. We would be checking them for acute and severe malnutrition.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's Minister for Cabinet Affairs is threatening to kick the ceasefire monitors out of South Sudan. Martin Eye Lomuro says the government will take measures against people giving what he calls fake reports. Lomuro was reacting to a recent report of ceasefire violations released by IGAD, which includes cases of rape by suspected SPLA soldiers. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Martin Eye Lomuro told reporters this afternoon in Juba that the government of South Sudan will not accept any accusations by IGAD, saying the government is violating the cessation of hostilities agreement signed in December. Lomuro says reports of violations by CITISAM are fake and biased, and he threatened to kick the ceasefire monitoring body out of South Sudan.
We'll go until IGAD to either empower CITISAM to work properly or to use the regional protection force, which is doing nothing here, after they gave us a lot of headache, threatening us of arms embargo, threatening us of travel ban on individuals, freezing assets of individuals, and now they are quiet. They are here. Let someone tell me, what is the RPF doing in this country? What are they doing? Use them to bring peace in this country, or let them go back. Or they should hand over the role of CITISAM to UNMISS. Because UNMISS is also doing nothing here, other than POCs, patrolling water with tanks on the streets, moving at a speed of almost 0 miles per hour.
Lomuro says the government has warned CITISAM to get its act together. He also warned media outlets about reporting such reports.
And we have told CITISAM in very clear terms that we will not work the way we have worked in 2017. We will take charge of what is happening, and they are not allowed to release any report according to the agreement, only until they investigate and a board meeting, which includes the government force generals who are here, to be in that board before a violation is declared. So we want to call on our people not to listen to propaganda by people who don't want peace in our country. We're here to protect our country, to protect the interest of our country, the interest of our people, and to give them peace. So if you're a media outlet, if you're a journalist, and you engage in hate speeches, you agitate, we will take action against you. We will take swift action. We will be in the front. We will monitor everybody and make sure you're brought to books if you contradict what is actually happening and mislead the people of South Sudan.
The visibly angry minister also accused some non-governmental organizations operating in South Sudan of reporting on security matters.
We have found that some of the NGOs who are working across the whole country have taken to their, as part of their job, to report on military issues, including violations, ambushes, and misleading the internal community. And we want to warn you severely that nobody has the right or the mandate or the authority to report on violations except CITISAM.
The ceasefire and transitional security arrangements monitoring mechanism released a report Tuesday accusing the South Sudan government of continuing to recruit child soldiers and of some soldiers raping girls and women. CITISAM also accused the SPLM-IO faction loyal to Riek Machar of spearheading an attack on the town of Koch just hours after the ceasefire was implemented in December. The report accused government forces of looting civilian property and fighting in and around the town of Mundri in the former Western Equatorial State. Lomuro dismissed recent reports of violations released by CITISAM. He added the government submitted many reports of violations and the ceasefire monitor is yet to publish those reports.
All through since the establishment of CITISAM, the reports were written on a desk. There was no ground investigation. Now we've given them 31 informations about attacks. Up to now, and this is from the 24th of December through to the 15th of December of January 2018. When are they going to investigate? When? They don't report that SPDIO came and attacked government position in Morobo and the casualties. They did not report. And the same thing in Kaya. So this I'm saying, it will not be business as usual. It will not be. We will be in front. We will confront.
Lomoro says his government is willing to return to Addis Ababa for the next round of talks is scheduled for the second week of February. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
A top UN official is in South Sudan on a fact-finding mission. UNICEF's executive director says unless the country's leaders restore peace soon, a whole generation of children will be at loss to malnutrition and illiteracy. The head of UNICEF is calling on the government and rebels to allow aid agencies unhindered access to vulnerable populations. Nabil Biagio reports for VOA from Juba.
UNICEF chief Henrietta Fore arrived in South Sudan on Wednesday. Over the past 2 days, Fore told VOA she has visited areas where children and young people are especially affected by the ongoing conflict and malnutrition.
We went to Rumbek, to Ganyel, and to Bentu. In each of them, there is a real attention to malnutrition. So mothers would be bringing in their children. We would be checking them for acute and severe malnutrition.
UNICEF estimates that 2.4 million South Sudanese children have been forced to flee their homes during the past 4 years. Fore says an estimated 19,000 children have been recruited as soldiers by both government and rebel fighters into the conflict, and at least 1 in 3 schools have been damaged, destroyed, occupied, or closed. But perhaps the most troubling, says Fore, is that more than 250,000 children are severely malnourished and at imminent risk of death.
We are very worried, very concerned that we will lose 250,000 children in this summer time period and before the next harvest. So there is a real crisis here.
The UNICEF chief also visited camps of internally displaced persons and says the IDPs she spoke to said they still do not feel safe enough to return home.
The people who are in the camps have really fled there because of the violence outside. The violence remains very strong and pervasive. Gender-based violence, but also abductions of children.
Fore says she has talked to several government officials this week and reminded them to act responsibly and take care of the country's children who are in desperate need of help.
70% of the children are not in school. That is the highest in the world, and it is not a way to build a nation. So in talking to the government, we talk about the children and the young people and what is needed for their lives and how to build a nation.
Fore says UNICEF is committed to working with the government of South Sudan to provide children with nutrition, education, and security, but stress that political will and ensuring free access to people in need remain the biggest obstacles to saving millions of children's lives in South Sudan.
We know how to solve these problems. This is a man-made conflict, and we at UNICEF have all the tools. So if we can have access and if we can have immediate funding, we can reach the people in the remotest areas and the most vulnerable populations.
Fore says lasting peace is the key to bringing back hope and safety to the children and young people of South Sudan. Until that happens, she says, UNICEF and its partners need unconditional and sustainable access from all parties to the conflict, along with more resources from donors. Fore wraps up her 3-day visit to South Sudan today. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
A new report released this week says the 4-year conflict in South Sudan has affected many school-aged adolescent girls. The report says the critical level of food insecurity in the country has forced some families to employing a number of bad options, such as forcing girls into early marriages or prostitution in exchange for dowry. Waki Simon Wudu has the story for VOA from Juba.
The report released this week by aid agency Plan International is called The Journey of Adolescent Girls During and After Armed Conflict in South Sudan. It says adolescents, especially girls, often have to overcome several challenges in order to attend school, such as higher risks in sexual and reproductive health, which often affects their education. The report also states that many households are unable to afford treatment for their adolescent children who suffered sexual violence or problems associated with early marriage. In fact, says the report, two-thirds of South Sudanese adolescents interviewed cannot access medical facilities, and those who can often do not receive the medication they need due to drug shortages. Fortson Kafeko, Plan International's interim country director for South Sudan, says all of these challenges are exacerbated by the ongoing conflict.
The things that have come out, issues to do with access to education, issues to do with coping mechanisms, some of them going into prostitution, some of them being married off at the tender age, some of them really having to sell off some of the grain that they have had.
Kafeko says adolescent girls often experience multi-layered insecurity in their day-to-day lives relating to health care, lack of food, and no education because their schools were destroyed. The report's findings are based on a research the agency conducted last year to investigate the impact of the armed conflict on adolescent girls in the five counties of Torit, Yei, Juba, Magui, and Lainya, all in the Equatorial region. The researchers spoke to 249 adolescent girls, activists, and community leaders, and conducted 24 focus group discussions to understand the impact of the armed conflict on the health, education, and protection of adolescent girls. William Ater, advisor to South Sudan's Ministry of Education, says government efforts to address the challenges outlined in the report have been hampered by the continued fighting. He says unless peace is restored, the situation will not change anytime soon.
We still have 1.8 children who are out of school. We wanted at least 1 million of these 1.8 to be enrolled in the schools by 2022. We wanted a quality education to be established, a curriculum in place. We wanted to make sure that the equity and equality is implemented in the field of education.
Kurere Susan, who works for Oxfam, urged government officials to do more to address the challenges affecting girls' education in South Sudan. Susan also urged Plan International to expand their research.
When we looked at the research was conducted in particular areas, that is particularly in Equatoria, so I would suggest that next time it will be better for Plan International to concentrate on other areas like Greater Upper Nile or Greater Barkazal, whereby we also have most of the girls who are being really affected by this conflict in South Sudan.
The report recommends training community health workers to provide essential health services in communities with limited access to health care in exchange for incentives with a particular focus on the sexual and reproductive health of adolescent girls. It also recommended adolescent girls be trained to act as peer mentors who will communicate simple but important messages on sexual and reproductive health and on girls' rights. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a new annual report on Africa says there is economic improvement on the continent. That story is coming up next.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
would you feel disappointed if you came in second place when doing something competitive? If I was expecting number one, then I become number two. Then I'll be disappointed. Yes. If I was expecting to be number 10 or number less, then I end up in number two, then I'll be very excited.
No, I will not feel disappointed because it's a competition and it's bound for a person to win, a person to lose, and I'm better off than the third person if I should be second.
I will not be disappointed because that second, it means there will be a price attached to it. Since I am not last, I will appreciate it.
Totally. In life, all of us yearn for success and we want to be taken first. So definitely, I would feel disappointed.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The Washington-based Brookings Institute released its annual Africa report yesterday, detailing top priorities for the continent in 2018. With 15 countries scheduled to hold elections this year, the report focused on a couple of major themes and potential issues. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
The report says Africa's journey to success requires a fundamental repositioning of growth strategies and policies. Flory Leiser, president and CEO of the Corporate Council on Africa, and a panelist at the report's launch at the Brookings Institute's D.C. offices, said that fundamental shift should begin in manufacturing.
One of the things I was noticing in the report was this concept that Africa will sort of leapfrog manufacturing. And yes, we all know that services contributes more to African GDP today than probably anything else. Services, finances, telecom, et cetera. But everything, you know, the chair you're sitting on was made in a factory somewhere. You know, this tray here was made in a factory somewhere. These chairs we're sitting in. So, you know, forgive me for being a bit irreverent, but I don't buy that we're going to skip Africa as one of the factory floor places of the world.
Thion Nyang, another panelist and co-founder of Akon Lighting Africa, agrees, in particular with concepts that help youth find jobs and take charge of their futures.
I have not seen any country in the world that those world and international organizations had come and change it for them. But I've seen some countries that was changed by the children of those countries. Israel had the same issues that we had. They had genocide. They don't have the natural resources we had. How come Israel in less than 50 years, 60 years, is where they are today? It's hard work. You believe in yourself. You use the human capacity and you work.
It's also election season in 15 African countries. Millions across the continent will be going to the polls later this year. Drawing on lessons from elections in Kenya last year, Brookings experts say other countries should acknowledge the rights and grievances of its citizens and not just those of supporters. South Sudan's election is scheduled to take place at the end of the transitional period in August, but the timetable for those elections must be agreed to by all participants in the IGAD-sponsored high-level revitalization process. The report says politicians should be aware of the unease of those who may feel marginalized. It also says governments should ensure that all groups are given opportunities. The African Union's ambassador to the United States, Arikana Chihamboru-Kwo, has a positive outlook for 2018, so long as Africans work together.
We got some serious issues to deal with, but I call that housekeeping, because these are issues that need to be addressed by us, the Africans. And in order for us to begin to deal with all those issues, it starts with an African who understands, who gets it, because the Africans must take what is rightfully theirs. But it starts with us getting our act together.
Another aspect of ensuring a bright year, according to the report, is a continent-wide need for independent courts. As was demonstrated in Kenya, says the report, the court, when given the chance as the final authority on constitutional matters, could help guide citizens through potentially turbulent and uncharted waters. Ayen Bior for VOA News, Washington.
From Washington, we move to Cameroon, where elections aren't expected until at least September. But the political scene is already heating up. supporters of the longtime President Paul Biya urging him to seek another term, while parts of the country are trying to unite behind a single candidate. Muki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaounde.
Hundreds of youths sing in the streets of Cameroon's capital, urging President Paul Biya to be their candidate later this year. They say the 85-year-old is still solid enough to rule for 7 more years. Similar calls are being made across the country. Elvis Ngolengole, Biya's close aide, insists the shows of support are emerging organically.
Our national chairman and president of the republic has opened up lots of educational facilities. We began with one state university. We have today more than 8 state universities, more than 40 private universities. The youths have all kinds of professional educational facilities now.
Biya has not said if he will be a candidate or not, but it is widely suspected he will run. Meanwhile, the country is grappling with an unprecedented set of challenges. The war against Boko Haram in the north, unrest in the 2 Anglophone regions, and large numbers of refugees and IDPs due to both Boko Haram and instability in the Central African Republic. About a dozen opposition parties are negotiating to back Akerem Muna, a prominent lawyer who specializes in fighting corruption. Muna has pledged a non-partisan platform to catalyze transformation.
For too long, we have lived in a country without any clear future, where the people have no voice. For too long, we have lived in a country where the poor and underprivileged have no chance. The days of waiting are over. We must begin here, now, and today. Join our march towards the new republic.
Cameroon's main opposition party, the SDF, has not weighed in on any alliances. 2017 saw Angola's longtime president step down, as well as more tumultuous leadership changes in Gambia and Zimbabwe. Some civil society groups in Cameroon are urging Biya to pass the torch. Pierre Obama is president of a coalition of groups promoting decentralization and good governance.
Nous demandons au gouvernement de prendre toutes les mesures.
He says they are inviting the government of Cameroon to take appeasement seriously and agree to sit on a historic negotiating table with all political parties and the civil society to discuss the future of Cameroon. Biya has ruled Cameroon since 1982 and is Africa's second longest-serving president after his neighbor, Teodoro Obiangema of Equatorial Guinea. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaounde.
Still in Cameroon, the UN Refugee Agency warns women and children fleeing English-speaking areas of Cameroon for Nigeria are facing a multitude of risks, including poverty and exploitation. Lisa Schlein reports from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
The UNHCR has registered more than 10,000 refugees since they began fleeing English-speaking parts of Cameroon for eastern Nigeria's Cross River State in early October. It reports about 80% of the refugees are women and children. The Anglophone community in Cameroon is protesting political and economic discrimination in this majority French-speaking country. Many of the demonstrations have turned violent, prompting people to seek refuge in Nigeria. As the number of people fleeing Cameroon grows, so do the risks to their welfare, says the UNHCR. Agency spokesman William Spindler says some of the children have fled to Nigeria on their own or become separated from their families along the way.
Unaccompanied and separated children are particularly affected by difficult access to food and the lack of subsistence opportunities. UNHCR staff have received numerous reports that children have to work or beg to survive or to help their families. Many children are unable to attend school as they lack both the time and funds for education.
Spindler says the UNHCR is working with Nigerian authorities to reunite separated children with their parents. Most of the families are headed by women whom he notes are vulnerable to exploitation. He says the women who cannot find work are at risk of sexual and gender-based violence. Spindler says many resort to what he calls survival sex to support themselves and their children. He tells VOA the UNHCR is trying to facilitate contacts between the Nigerian and Cameroonian governments so they can better protect the refugees and provide for their needs. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Here are a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elia-Lamuro said today that IGAD must either empower the ceasefire and transitional security arrangements monitoring mechanism to work properly, or they will be told to leave the country. Lamuro accused IGAD of releasing biased reports on violations of the cessation of hostilities agreement, including rape by suspected SPLA soldiers. He told reporters that the government will not accept such accusations by IGAD. He called the reports fake and biased and threatened to kick the ceasefire body out. Lamuro says the government has warned the body to get its act together, and he warned media outlets about reporting on IGAD's findings, saying the government will take action against them as well. A top UN official on a fact-finding mission in South Sudan this week says unless the country's leaders restore peace soon, thousands of children may die. UNICEF's executive director is calling on the government and rebels to allow aid agencies unfettered access to vulnerable populations. UNICEF chief Henrietta Fore arrived in South Sudan on Wednesday. She said she's visited areas where children and young people are especially affected by the ongoing conflict, and malnutrition is rampant in Rubbek, Ganyel, and Bentiu, according to Four. UNICEF estimates that 2.4 million South Sudanese children have been forced to flee their homes during the past 4 years. Four says an estimated 19,000 children have been recruited as soldiers by both the government and rebel fighters, and at least one in three schools have been closed, damaged, destroyed, or occupied. And finally, a new report released says the 4-year conflict in Sudan has negatively impacted many school-aged adolescent girls. The report says a critical level of food insecurity in the country forces households to resort to employing a number of bad options, such as forcing their daughters into early marriages or prostitution in exchange for dowry or cash. The report released this week by the aid agency Plan International is called The Journey of Adolescent Girls During and After Armed Conflict in South Sudan. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Ana Der Salam by I Am Peace Ambassadors.
Yeah, we're singing for peace.
It doesn't matter which color.
I am peace. You are peace. We are peace.
All we need is four hands.
There's no sense of living without a neighbor. When we deserve them, there's no sense of hating one another.
Let's learn to forgive and live in peace and harmony. Doesn't matter where you came from, what tribe or race. Politicians, politicking, trying to cause separation. And just sick and tired of these wars that you're creating. Innocent lives lost every day and night. Children left helpless. What kind of life are we leading? Yeah, let's preach peace.
We have been listening to I Am Peace Ambassadors with the song Ana Der Salam. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for joining us. would like to hear what you think about this show, send us an email at southsudan@voanews.com. You can also reach us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Have a restful weekend and join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Let's go somewhere.